In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joyous feast, s praznikom. In the church, following St. John's Gospel, we call Pentecost the great and the last day. The great and the last day. The coming of the Holy Spirit, which we now celebrate, is the very purpose of history. Creation, in other words, creation has a why. Creation has a reason. Creation has a purpose and a goal. God does indeed have a plan. And his plan, the very reason for creation, is that he might pour out his Holy Spirit upon the church. The great and last day of Pentecost is the day God has in mind when he first says in Genesis, "Let there be light." This is the day he has in mind when he says that. The great and last day of Pentecost is the day God has in mind when he calls Abraham and makes Abraham the father of nations. This day. The great and last day of Pentecost is the day that God has in mind when he reveals himself to Moses and delivers the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt. Pentecost is the day God has in mind when he gives Israel his law, his Ten Commandments. Pentecost is the day God has in mind when he sends prophets to correct and to teach his people. Pentecost, this day that we celebrate, is the day God had in mind when he sent his own son to become a human being and to destroy death. Pentecost is the day Jesus Christ has in mind when he says that unless he departs, unless he embraces the cross, the Father will not send the Holy Spirit as another comforter. Pentecost is the bullseye at which all of history aims. This is the great and last day on which the goal and purpose of history is achieved. Why are there plants and trees and frogs and rocks and black holes and gravity waves and dark matter and quantum foam? Why is there art and science and music? Why is there something rather than nothing? The answer, the why behind all of creation, is the church. Creation is a project. God's activity has a purpose, and the purpose is the church, a people on which God will pour out his Holy Spirit. This is bold language. To most, this is ludicrous language. To many, it is perhaps offensive. Isn't this just narcissism on steroids? Isn't this just silliness on stilts? How dare Christians hold on to such a high view? The brothers and sisters, to those who are slaves, this is not narcissism. This is freedom. To those who are weak, this is not silliness. This is finally cause for courage and hope. To those who are rejected and despised, this is not a Christian conceit. This is true fellowship and acceptance. Pentecost is the great and last day on which the kingdom itself is birthed into the world. The long days of creation and human history are finally at an end, and the flower that blooms at the end of it all is the church. You and me and all who now become the mystical body of Christ, on whom the Spirit descends. And that makes today, brothers and sisters, both an end, but also a beginning. It is an end because Pentecost is the end of ignorance. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth as we pray. We now know the full picture of God's good and holy will. God desires you. That's God's will. God desires you. He desires to come and to abide in us. Today is an end because Pentecost is also the end of exile. We no longer wander in this world as people without places. Each human being now has a homeland. And it is not the United States of America. It is not Russia or Greece or Ukraine or Jerusalem. It is not China or Kenya, Japan or Jamaica. Our true homeland is the church. Our language is the gospel. Our culture is Christ. Our life is liturgy and prayer and worship. The long exile is over. Today is also an end because Pentecost is the end of toil, the end of empty striving. Each moment of every day, each breath, and every thought, what you do and how you pass the time is now saturated with meaning and significance. Whether you are a king or a commoner, your labor glorifies God. Creation gives way to the church, and the church now reaches back and saves all of creation. The church now proclaims the dignity of all human beings. The church baptizes all that we do and opens up an infinity of pathways through this world into the kingdom. It does not matter where you find yourself, on the farm or in the factory, at home or on the road, classroom or boardroom, it doesn't matter. The Comforter now abides in us. The Holy Spirit touches and makes meaningful everything that we do, no matter how small we think it is. But this great and last day is not just an end, it is also a beginning. Pentecost is the beginning of holiness. We can now become by grace what God is by nature because the Spirit is present among us. Pentecost is the beginning of peace. God now dwells among us and he guides us, and the peace which Pentecost brings, it is peace that always begins with us. It begins with our humility and with our patience. God has been so patient with us. God has loved us so much. It is now our turn to show mercy and to bring violence to an end. And Pentecost, without a doubt, is the beginning of joy. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is not the object of our worship. The Holy Spirit is the engine of our worship. The Holy Spirit makes prayer possible. Forgive the image. It's fitting on this Memorial Day weekend, but the church is a swimming pool. The Holy Spirit is the water that fills it. Enter these doors each and every Sunday, each and every time, and dive deeply. The Spirit surrounds us. The Spirit holds us up. We are buoyant in the Spirit. In worship this morning, we splash and we swim and we play. This is where joy begins. Brothers and sisters, today is the last and great day of Pentecost. All creation surges forward and gives birth to the church, and the church is now ready to bring the life of Jesus Christ back to all of the world. The church is the goal of life, and now it becomes the source of life. This great gift is given to us today. This gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of living waters that flows forth from the hearts of all who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Joyous feast.